I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to read the first 6 verses. Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Does God want what's best for you? And does God know best how to give that to you? My message is titled this morning is God's Word, Established, Sufficient, and Forever. You may be wondering when I'm going to be getting back to the Sermon on the Mount, and I don't know that myself. Maybe next time, I'm not sure. But I guess I was just really challenged by what Mark had to share in the week of meetings that he had, and especially the approach to the Bible simply being what God has said, and the Bible being what God is saying to us. It's not just a book. It's not just a stack of papers put together in a binding. This is God's word to us today. And the one thing that we need, each of us need, is to be conformed to the image of Christ. The one way for that to happen is for us to understand Christ, to know what He is like, and to be conformed to Him by the renewing of our minds. And the way to know Him and His character is through studying and meditating on what He has revealed to us about Himself. In 1 John 3, verse 2, it says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's a reality. We are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Paul talks about seeing through a glass darkly. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Why? For we shall see Him as He is. So the more clearly we see Christ, the more we become like Him. So my challenge to you this morning, my goal in this message is just again, I know I've shared messages similar to this over the years, and I guess I don't apologize for it. I think it's something we just need to be called back to again and again. That the rock of our life, the absolute authority in our life, what every idea and every imagination needs to conform to is what God has told us about Himself in His Word. And out of that, we take what He has told us in His Word about ourselves and seek to be conformed to that Word. So, I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 119. It's just Psalm 119 is just we're going to go to verse 89 and read through 104. It's just interesting how everything that David is saying here, he's bringing back to the law, to the statutes, to the testimonies, to the precepts. He uses a number of different words there, but it's all describing God's Word, what God has told them, what God has given them, what God has revealed about Himself. So We're going to notice some things here. And again, I have a number of scriptures I would like to read this morning. But just really trying to encourage us to quiet the noise in our lives, to always be in the Word and having the Word be what shapes and forms us. Psalm 119, 89. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. How long is that? That's forever. That doesn't have an end. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to Thine ordinances. So the earth and everything in it, the generations, they continue according to Thine ordinances, according to Your Word. For all are Thy servants. Unless Thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I think that's something we need to really notice there. We would take that to heart. Unless Thy law had been my delights, unless I had been interested in what You had to say to me, this is talking to God, unless I had been interested and invested in what God had to say to me, I should then have perished in mine affliction. One thing we notice through the Old Testament is that God had chosen the people of Israel, and God was faithful to the children of Israel through many ups and downs. They so often turned and rebelled against Him. But even there with Elijah, when he went and hid in the cave, and he said, "Okay, God, I'm the only one left. You might as well kill me too." And God said, "No, there's 7,000 people." The nation was very ungodly at that time. But there were those individuals that God said, "I have reserved to me 7,000 people who have not bent the knee to Baal." And then we have the story of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They were Israelites. God did not abandon His people. But Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, because of their rebellion against what God had instituted and what God had told them on how to do life, because of that, they went down alive into the pit, it says. The earth, I'll just go into that a little bit, maybe for the sake of the children or whatever. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram told Moses, what's so special about you? God can use us the same way. And God had told them how to do certain things in worship with their incense and their fire and so on. And they went and got their own, and they did their own thing. And Moses said, "What do I do?" And God said, "You tell them, go stand by themselves in front of their tents. And tomorrow you're going to see who God has chosen." And I don't know if Korah stood there with an arrogant look on his face. It sounds like there was Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. It sounds like Korah was probably the ringleader. If he was arrogant, if he was thinking, "Boy, what did I get myself into?" I don't know what his actual thinking was at that point. But Moses told everyone else, "Get back from their tents. Stay back." And the earth opened up. Can you imagine? The earth opened up. And it's one thing for Korah, Dathan, and Abiram to have gone into that pit. But it says they stood there with their little children. And their children went down into the pit with them too. We as fathers, except we have the law of the Lord as our delight, we will perish in our afflictions. We must know for certain that we are in the Word and we are leading our families according to the Word of God. Doesn't mean we can't get help other places, but it needs to be scriptural in what we're doing. I'm going to say it now in case I forget later. And I've said this before, and this is something that comes back to me again and again. I believe it's, I can picture him. I can't even say his name. Harold Desiring God, the older the older man on John Piper. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to say it exactly right, but this is, I know I can say it well enough, you know what I mean. He said, one of the greatest things that social media and that realm will serve on the day of judgment is to show us that a lack of time in the Word and a lack of time in prayer was not because we didn't have time. That's sobering. Why don't I pray more? Why don't I read more? Why am I not in a devotional mind, a time of intentional devotion through in the morning, in the afternoon, whenever it is? I'm so busy. Some of us might be feeling kind of good right now because we're not on social media. But what do we read? What do we read? What are we doing with our time? We all have time. We all have the same amount of time. It's what we do with that time. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. You've made me alive by giving me your word. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider their testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection. I get this, the idea I get here is that I've you know, tried to attain the utmost of perfection, and there's only so far you can go. But thy commandment is exceeding broad. I see the end of perfection. There's only so much we can do as humans. But your commandments, they're just infinite. Verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Do you believe, do you realize that we do have enemies ever with us, seeking to destroy us, seeking to destroy our families? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. But those rulers and darknesses often use flesh and blood to infiltrate our lives, our families, our thinking. Be very careful who you're reading, who you're following, who you're liking, who is influencing your thinking. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. In other words, I can discern when they're trying to destroy me. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. I remember thinking that was a good verse when I was a kid. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. And that entire psalm has, if not every verse, then there'll be two verses put together or whatever. But every section, every little verse or two refers to, I do this, or I don't do this, or I understand this, or I gain this, or whatever it is, because of the law of the Lord, because of thy precepts, because of thy testimonies. And he's thankful that God has given him the ability to see and understand through his word. Now I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 5. And I want to ask you another question. Are you content? Are you content as long as you get to heaven? I think I know enough to get to heaven. Why get more? And here, Paul, I think Paul is the writer of Hebrews, rebukes that sort of thinking. Hebrews 5, verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. There we go, oracles, the word of God. And are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And I want to make a clarification here. We have people here of all ages, and we have people here who have been with the Lord for all different lengths of time. So I don't want to sound like we all should reach maturity immediately. What I'm talking about here is a desire. Do I desire to grow? For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who, by reason of use, who by working out, we would say, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Going on into the next chapter. Therefore, so he says here, there's that word therefore, so let's make sure we catch that. You ought to be teachers by now. Some of you are content with just milk. You don't want strong meat. We should be seeking strong meat and being mature. Therefore, because of all that, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection or unto maturity. Let us grow up. Not laying again the foundation of, and he says some things here. These are fundamental. These are necessary. These are foundational. But we can't live here. Let's go on unto maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms. If you look that up, it's the idea of ritualistic washings, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will be due if God permit. All of these will be happening. But when someone asks me, do I know the Lord? And I say, yes, I have repented from dead works. I have faith in God. And I've been baptized. I believe in the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Those are all true and necessary. Well, let's not be content there. That all happened, 20 years ago. And it's still the same thing. Now that, again, we cannot come to Christ without that. But we need to be willing and able and desiring. One of the attitudes is, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do I have an appetite for going on to perfection? It is impossible for those, verse 4, who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And then drop down to verses 10 through 12. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name. So, okay, I want to just get us thinking right here again. Am I reading this? As we are reading this, am I thinking, okay, I need to conform to this. What is God telling me? What is God telling me about himself? What is God telling me that I need? For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So I ask myself, have I ministered to the saints? Am I ministering? And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful or lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Faith and endurance, faith and keeping on. That's how we inherit the promise. Go to 2 Timothy 3. We're going to see some more about the Word of God. I'm not saying I've got books. I am finding more and more that, how should I say this? First of all, I haven't arrived. We all know that. You all know that. But I'm finding that the more time that I invest in the Word, and the less proportionate time that I'm reading other books or listening to podcasts or even messages. I think those can all be helpful in their place and in their time. But when I'm truly reading the Word, seeking guidance, seeking direction, and seeking understanding, and seeking to know the Lord, that is when I am in my best, that is when I grow. That is when I have strength that comes from God. 2 Timothy 3, 1, we'll start at verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. I think that we are just plain foolish if we ignore these warnings, and if we come up with different ideas. This know, the end times are going to be perilous. And what makes them perilous? He doesn't talk about communist countries wanting to take over. He says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Children, young people, this is serious. Disobedient to parents is something that God sees as serious enough to put in a list of things that will be a sign of the end times and perilous. Unthankful. There's another one that we might think is something, you know, I'm not very thankful, but you wouldn't be either in my situation. Unthankfulness is a sign of something, is something we need to be turning away from. We need to be thankful. Unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, you keep your word. False accusers, incontinent, or lack of self-control. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. A.W. Tozer, there's a quote from him that says it's really hard to get people to come out to church in numbers to a service where God is the only attraction. Think about that. What does it take to get you to church? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. So we have a form of godliness, but do we have a power in that form? Are we able to live and does God's kingdom come in our lives? For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. I'm not sure I've said this before, and I can't quite see that, how that applied in the day that Paul wrote it. Were there actually men sneaking into houses, maybe seducing their neighbors' wives? I'm not sure how that was going on. But I think now a very real way for this to happen. Men, do you know what your wives are listening to and watching on the listening to on the radio, watching on their phones, podcasts, whatever it might be? Do you know? Make sure there's not someone creeping into your house. And I don't want to call our women late silly. That's not the point here. But it warns against women being led captive by those that creep into their houses. Just be careful what we're listening to. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's a real honor in being a seeker. If you say you have answers, you'll find a lot of resistance. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. This is Paul speaking. My doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which come unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's another verse that we think must not apply to us because we don't have persecution. Maybe we need to ask ourselves, are we living godly in Christ Jesus? Are we confronting the sin around us? Are we doing spiritual battle? All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We are seeing such a deception in our land. People don't know which bathroom to use. People think they are persecuted if they aren't allowed to use the right bathroom. We're seeing these things come to pass. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child. So Paul says, he's talking to Timothy here. He says, Timothy, you keep going in the things that I taught you. You know me, and you know you can trust me. So you continue in that. And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So now he's referring to Old Testament, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or may be complete, truly furnished unto all good works. That's what the Scriptures can do for us if we know them. And then going on into chapter 4, I charge thee therefore, because the Scriptures are sufficient, because they are sure, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So I've got three things I want to go through here. They're not big headings, but I have three things. The Word was in the beginning. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know that in Genesis 1:1, that's John 1:1. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and He created that by His Word. So God's Word has always been the active part of His acting, I guess I'll say. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God, and the Word was God. And if we read those next verses, it talks about God created everything by His Word, and He didn't create anything without His Word. The Word will be in the end. So the Word was in the beginning. The Word will be in the end. There's no chance that God's Word will pass away. 2 Peter 3, if you turn to 2 Peter 3, verses 1 through 7, I want to read that. Excuse me. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I'll wait a little bit. I still hear pages turning. That's fine. 2 Peter 3, verse 2 now. And he's stirring them up. He says, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. Notice they're not after the Word of God, their own lust, their own desires, their own way of thinking and doing, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. You guys say that Christ is coming back. You say there's going to be a new creation. You say all these things. Where's it at? We've been hearing that all of our lives. We've been hearing that grandpa and great-grandpa and way on back. When's this going to happen? And they scoff. You guys are foolish to think these things. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Okay, I'm going to say another thing right here. Do we believe the Word of God? The Word of God says that an atheist is willingly ignorant. Not that he can't believe, not that he truly believes there's no God. He chooses to ignore what he knows. So atheists, I'm not sure there actually are any atheists, but this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. So that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. We read that in Genesis, how God made the earth, and then he had the dry land appear. So we had the earth standing in and out of the water. Whereby, that by that word, the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. There's a reference to the flood during Noah's time. So by God's word, the world that then was overflowed with water, and it perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store. Why does the earth not fall apart? Why do the stars not fall? Why do things not, you know, we talk about global warming and all of that. By the same word are kept in store. God's word is actively maintaining, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God's word is keeping the earth until the right time, and then there's going to be the ultimate global warming. The elements will melt with a fervent heat. So we have the word was in the beginning, the word will be in the end, and then I want to turn to Revelation 22. I'm going to ask you to stand. Let's read Revelation 22, or I'll read it. You can follow along. They that heed the word will be acknowledged. They that heed the word will be acknowledged. I read a little bit ago in Hebrews that God does not forget. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. So now we're going to see Revelation 22, verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust. So here we see a finality. When Christ returns, when he says enough is enough, as we are at that moment when the sky splits, is how we will be. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. God's word. established, sufficient forever. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would enlighten each one of us. Lord, give us the ability to read, to understand, to comprehend your word, your will, your way for us. Help each one of us to be given up to the idea of conforming to your will, whatever it costs, whatever it means, to desiring relationship with you and fellowship with you, and to just be like you. Help us to worship, to admire, to hallow your name. Thank you that we have abundant access to your word. Lord, we don't want to treat it lightly. We don't want to spurn what's been given to us. I just pray that it would really, truly take top priority in our lives, that we be in the word and learning to know you. Help us, we pray. We thank you. Bless each one here. I thank you for each one, for your blessing on them as we go. Dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.